and you take the milk caps and you slam it on the ground, and then you slam one on top. So that didn't cost you anything to collect milk caps.
Show you how traffic was in those days. That Hickson and Main was the city center. Oh yes, and Panther is only one block away from Strathcona. Lunchtime, we kick an old tin can from Strathcona all the way down, go right through, right through Main Street, back home.
Yeah.
Without getting killed by car, because that was traffic.
And yeah, we used to put it in the middle there and call it kick the can.
Kick the can all the way back down.
And all the kids played hide and go seek, played tag, and skipping ropes.
Because the CCC was the old Great Northern warehouse depot. The railroad track all the way up to right to Pender Street.
Was there a Chinese playground there?
After that, just a little bit was donated by Mary Taylor of Vancouver. See, because he was backed by Chinese gambler to get elected. And Chinese spent a lot of money to back him up, so he got elected, so he donated that place with the, I think it's JLLJ Taylor. I think he was mayor. In those days, a mayor only once every year election, about two or three times. So he donated that playground to the Chinese community. But that area belonged to the Great Northern. So after
train
that,
tracks, full of train
and
tracks.
After that was Chinese Jubilee year. So they knocked that down, the big Chinese Jubilee, the tent, and so-called the decoration right there.
1936. Yeah.
Was that a big deal, the Golden Jubilee?
Yes, it was.
Do you think it changed Chinatown?
Well, again, it was depression.
Yeah.
But somehow, some of the Chinese bring over a lot of acrobatic a troop over, and they have something like a little sideshow to decorate to celebrate the 50th Jubilee year.
And didn't those ones stay after Jinhua? Some of those?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Some of them came over. Of course, yeah, we used to go to Chinese shows too. The kids got in free, and then you walk up and down Sik Mui, you know, and if you've got any.
Did the Whites come down for the Golden Jubilee in Chinatown?
Not that many.
No, I don't remember seeing. I was selling tickets there, I remember. Yeah.
Not that
many Sayan.
I don't remember.
But because
although Shirley Temple.
I know. She visited the Jubilee.
Yeah, the Jubilee.
But in those days, Chinatown was more or less segregated from Vancouver, see?
Yeah.
They're nothing but gambling.
Yeah.
And they do not allow Chinese, do not have Chinese girl as waitress in a coffee shop. But they have this up at the Chinese Hangzhou Cha Lao. So they hire white girls.
Why don't they let Chinese girls be waitresses?
Our Chinese family is below the father's dignity.
If you were a waitress, you were that girl.
Yeah, my daughter are not alone. In fact, they do not even encourage you to go out to work. See, to have my daughter go to work as a waitress is an insult to me. That is Chinese culture or the tradition. Okay, so they hire white girls. And white girls, usually they are the low of the low. So they come to Chinatown to act as waitress. And for years, nothing but trouble. Shooting, wake boys come down, cause trouble, and the undesirable character come down, so there's always a lot of trouble from the police department. But that going for a few years, and after that, gradually, no more wake boys come down. Then along comes some Chinese girl that was in the, near the late 30s, that would often become waitress and so forth. So those are what you call the transitional.
So Chinatown didn't have a very good reputation then?
Well, because it's
all single men.
It's all stereotype.
Single
just like you're the way kids or the way people go to movie. The only good Chinese is Charlie Chan. All the other crooks, see? So So the stereotype Chinese, either you are gambler or a dope smuggler or dope addict. See, in those days, most of the Chinese that end up in Ocala, either open smoker, cocaine smoker.
There's no family.
See?
There's no
Chinese who go and murder people. They don't say rob the bank. No such thing.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
They are not that type. But now anything goes. See, the Dragon Gang, the what gang, all kind of gang.
Red Eagle or whatever.
See? Mm-hmm. So time do change, people change, attitude change.
Yeah, we played baseball too. Baseball as well at the church. You know, we played baseball. Had a somebody brought a bat and a ball, and we go to Strathcona playground there.
Do you have any knowledge of the Chinese soccer team in the early 30s or the early 20s? It's because Chinese, the physique, much weaker compared to the white. See, the Chinese, they come Chinese student club. They play against the Vancouver Firemen. They have a terrific team.
Mm-hmm.
They play against the policemen. They have a terrific team. The sizes, the physique, and they always beat up the Chinese because one elbow, and you got to submit for a week. So the referee being a prejudice, they don't blow the whistle. So, sometimes when the game is over, the Chinese beat up the referee. They go up to the ground about in the hundreds.
Is that right?
They dash out and go to beat up the referee. and the odd time when those some white kids, big and strong, come to China, they insult the Chinese. So the few Canadian boy Chinese, they had a tough guy. They had the one to drive the taxi, the one to hang around the gambling joint. They knocked them down, okay? And the 100 Chinese all dashing,
everybody looks alike, yeah.
They all kick until the guy's unconscious. Then by luck, somebody phoned an ambulance, and the cop comes. They say, "What's going on?"
No, don't speak.
Everybody got the pork eye lying on their bloody mess.
So there were fights in those days.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh anyway. Yeah. At Halloween time, they used to all come down to what they call Ray's Hell. They called it, you know. Let's go down to Chinatown. Yeah.
And what did they do here?
Well, because the Chinese always had fireworks. This is where you bought all the firecrackers and everything.
Especially New Year.
Yeah, they'd come down here and walk up and down and just...
But New Year, not too bad, because the Chinese start fireworks about 8 at night and going to midnight.
Mm, but that's Chinese,
continuous.
You see.
Yeah, Chinese,
but the Halloween wasn't.
But they burnt the firecracker. There's no restriction. And yet, the Chinese are not the kind that do damage.
Mm-hmm.
They don't throw those big Chinese cracker at people.
Mm-hmm.
And they just enjoy it. And there's very, very little injury. There's no such thing as burning the so-called...
There's no fire.
...the canvas or broken windows. See, that's the Chinese natural. Where's the weight? They throw the rocket at people aiming at them. Kind of have that spiral type of fact. They just enjoy the thing going on, and kids enjoy it, adults enjoy it, and because of so many families,
Chinatown
was always a lot of action at night, every day, 7 days a week.
All the time. What kind of action?
Well, people coming in and out, in the restaurant, in the gambling joint, family keep all playing till 9 o'clock, then 9 o'clock. All the kids inside.
Because everybody lived around.
Yeah.
Maybe playing outside on the street.
Oh, yeah, street.
Yeah,
see?
Oh, yeah.
And in our time, when we were kids, see, like nowadays, if you have a family, your kid do their things. But if your cousin or their aunt saw your kid misbehave,
yeah.
Maybe put to you, he said, none of your business. I look after the old kid. In our time, it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle. Our cousin, our uncle will spot you where we put before you get home.
You get heck.
Hickston, Paris. You know where Paris is? Used to be, it's gone now. It's a shoes factory.
Pierre Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The answers are funny. You look through here, and there that corner, there's a little stair going upstairs. So me and my brother was there at night after dinner, go for a walk. We go to look at the theater, look at those people, have nobody to go in. We go to the fish and chips store, just look at the smell of the fish. And you go, and then this is a Paris there, okay? We look, come back, we got hell.
What did you do?
Nothing. Our uncle saw us standing there because that's where the bad girls are. We don't know.
Hey, how about telling about you picking up a cigarette too? This is hilarious too.
That's on Georgia Street.
One
block from H.Y. Louis, we have a store that sell hay and oaks and rye for the horses. My father opened a restaurant at the Yorkshire Trusted. So our sister looked after the hay. The store selling hay at Georgia, 300 block. I was maybe about 3 years old, 4 years old, I don't know. There's a cigarette butt outside of the street. So I bend down, pick up this cigarette butt, still smoking, take it up, and bang over the head, my father got me right there. From then on, no smoking for life.
That knocked it out again.
See, that knocked you out completely. He said, no good, that's no good. But he didn't talk to you like that, he just knocked you over the head. And that, so.
That, anything else? Because
well,
that reminds me, when I was in this vegetable store, I don't know where I was, but my mother told me, she says there was a girl about my size, you know. She was dark too. And she walked by our store with two boys. And she says, my father walked out the store there. My name is Angani. Angani Ubinja. This is my mother told me. So, see, he was against the white boys too, you see. So, but I never did go out with white boys anyway, see? But that just is whatever the background, whatever your father and mother does, that's how you grow up to be.
Don't say Chinese are very, very, what you call, I don't know, it's the tradition that brought over. That's the way you have to look after your family. You don't want your kid to knock down your so-called your position or lower your position by doing something bad. And they are spy all over.
Yep.
And we don't know, sometimes blocks away, they come back home before we do. Well, it's okay. Huh?
Anything else, Paul? Because we don't want to... Good.
So nowadays, you can even tell your sister that her kid misbehaved because she said, mind your business.
So in those days, Chinatown was really much busier than it is today. You would have kids and people all
boom.
Around.
It's a boom town.
Yeah.
It's busier than Granville or Hickson.
Yeah.
Because Granville and Hickson, at 6 o'clock, no business, no nothing. Nothing going on, see?
Right,
but here, all night, all the restaurants open 24 hours. Yeah.
And how about going to the theater?
Yeah.
That was a big deal on Sundays, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would go to theater?
Most everybody would go to the theater.
You go next to Yorkshire.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a Chinese theater there, just next door to called Daisy Garden, the old Daisy Garden.
Yeah.
There's a Chinese theater there. And behind the Ho-Ho, that empty parking lot, there's a Chinese theater. And
in the lane there,
down at Shanghai Canton Alley, there's a theater there. Chinese theater at a big street where that says Shanghai Bank, next to Harry James Realty.
Okay.
That's a funeral parlor. at the Georgia and Main Street, that corner, Chinese theater. And on their side is a night and day Chinese theater, yeah. Used to be Chinese theater.
So there are about three or four or five Chinese theaters,
yeah.
All going at the same time?
Oh, yes.
So even during the Depression, the Chinese have a, you know, there's but a lot of people.
That's their whole system of entertainment for the community. You can't go anywhere else. They don't want you. You go to Princess Theater, which is Lux now. Discriminate, you throw into one corner. The Japanese, the Hindu, Chinese, they kick it to one corner.
So if you went to the theater, you'd have to sit in a special corner.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yes, yes. Were you here when Pender Street had chickens all?
Oh, that's in the 200 block.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, there was chickens.
But then,
there.
Before that, in the 30s, a farmer brings the chicken up in the bamboo basket, about 8 or 10 to a basket, so big, they bring them up, and they sweep out here on the street. They're selling them 35 cents a piece, 3.5 pound size. And then by 4:30,
live.
By 4:30, there'll only be maybe one or two left. So my father called, oh, there's the little chin ban, you go la. Otherwise, the pork had been left back to the farm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we got that for 2 bits for our chicken, so get two.
Yeah.
And then in the restaurant, in the backyard, leave a bit there. So by New Year, they think get about 6 pounds.
Yeah.
We said, look, see? So tough those days. A rock cod, 50 cents a pound.
How often would the chicken farmer come in to sell his chickens?
As often as they can, because they can't get rid of it. So they come up here, they make a few cents, see? But then a dollar in those days go a long way. But it's tough to make money.
Yes, see? Just that you made that dollar then, it's
see,
nothing
the
today, but
in those
then
days,
you buy a lot.
They all think in terms of a dollar Canadian equivalent to so much Chinese money. They think that way. After 5 years, I go back, I have that much. I could build a house for a few hundred dollars Canadian money. I could raise a family. See, they don't think in terms, that's why they are thrifty. They don't spend their money. Every penny, they save it. Now, it's different. You're big enough to put a down payment for a house. Because you're born here, you're going to live here. See, China to many Canadian Chinese are aliens. You go there for 3 days, they're scared. They can't adjust. See, and even you go to outside of Guangzhou and Hong Kong, the food is so different. They cannot adjust to the taste. First, the language difficulty. And another thing, they can't even rearrange Chinese. So they're completely at a loss. Do you think that time? Enough? Anything else?